Need to be organised. Here we go. That's not very helpful. At the moment, my notes are sideways. Hold on a minute. That's better. That would be a very odd angle. Okay. Well, good morning, friends. It's good morning. It feels like it's been a little while since I've been here, but that's the benefits of being on holiday, I guess. So, hopefully, you'll have picked up. No, I'd be on the side the other way. That we're carrying on with our whole life worship series this morning and looking at everyday actions. The whole series is underpinned with some wonderful material that all who are leading and preaching are picking up from. And part of that is there is a little series of videos. So I thought we would start. That's what we're looking at today. But start with a video.
Head down, grit teeth, roll on another week. Monday mornings, mundane job and tasks. Eat, work, tweet, graft, sleep, repeat. Late nights, early nights, keeping balance right. Dinner, dishes, washing, bed, bath, morning light. Concentrating hard, throwing myself in. Lift my given hands to work and lose in touch with what's within. Each day, a gentle numbing. Sunday, gathered church, gathered people, gather myself to worship, lift my heart. Head up, breathe deep, invite you into the week. Lift my given hands to work and touching heaven as I do. Lift my hands to work and work's an instrument of praise. Your abiding presence filling up my days. Turn my eyes to you, and your delight compels my tasks. Lift my heart to worship, lift my heart to bask in your warmth. Even in busyness, I'm stilled in you. When scattered, you're with us, and we are in you.
So the video talks about how we use our hands in the week, and sometimes we find it easier to concentrate if we're doing something with our hands. For some of us, that's really important, particularly me. I like to keep my hands busy. Some of you come to worship, Sunday worship, and you might think, you might bring a notebook and pen with you, in which case you're already planned. But for those, because we're talking about hands today, dotted around on the tables, hopefully, are some little sheets that look a little bit like this. So that's got the scripture on for this morning, and it's got a little space on the back with some lines and a space for drawing. So you can do whatever you like. I don't mind. You could write on it, doodle in it, colour it in, highlight words as we go through, write the most important point from this morning if you find one. I'm hoping there'll be at least one thing you could write down. If writing and doodling and drawing is not your thing, that's also fine. Do feel free to completely ignore it. This is a no pressure thing. Use it or not use it. It's whatever's helpful for you. But before we get to the verses which you've now got in front of you, Tim shared some highlights from his week earlier with wonderful actions. Now, I didn't think to get Steve on board to do the actions for my week because I also am going to share a little bit about what I've done now. At my last church, we had a group, midweek group called Time Out, which was for those who were sort of had free time in the day. And they'd gather together and they'd do things like jigsaws and eat cake and talk to each other. But they used to have a little talk. And one of the talks they would invite people to do is called Life in a Bag. So you'd collect together, whoever was asked to do it would bring a few objects that represented their whole life, and they'd whip out the stuff from the bag and talk about what they'd done in their life. Now, I thought, we haven't got time for the whole of my life. We're just going to do week in a bag. So this is to refute the idea that ministers only work one day a week. So I brought my week in a bag. Now I'm going to wander up here because I need a table. So the kind of things that have kept me busy, keep me busy in the week. Let's have a look. A laptop. I'm on the laptop quite a lot, typing things and sending emails and what have you. What else have I got? As I said, this series comes with some resources, so I've got the resources book. I've been referencing them this week. I have my very handy notebook and pen, which are lots of to-do lists, and there are lots of to-do lists with things crossed off from the previous to-do list and put on the next to-do list, but that's how I work. That's how I rock and roll. If I'm not referring that, I'm referring my beautifully, wonderfully colour-coordinated wall chart. I don't know what to call it, because it's not actually a wall chart anymore, because it has to come with me. I used to have wall charts in the olden days, when I used to work in one place, but I tend to find I move around quite a lot and I need to reference it, so I take it with me everywhere I go. So I reference that and cross the days off as we go, so I know where I'm at. This week, not surprising, I've had my Bible out because I've been preparing. I have my car keys because I've been driving about to various things. I went up to a meeting. I've visited people. There was the time this week that I got halfway to someone's house and realised the meeting was actually at my own house, so I had to turn around and come back again, but that's another story. They patiently waited for me. Cups of tea, not the only one who drinks tea. I've been spending some time with people and chatting as well as keeping myself going. And then I've got my choir folder, because I pop out to choir each week, so I've got my choir folder with all the songs I'm learning in that. And this week I also went to visit a friend, so I had a train ticket. So I tootled off down to Bristol to meet up with a good friend of mine. So that's the kind of things that I've had in my hands that's been keeping me busy through this week. So I guess if we had a little, further, we'd find out more of what you were up to this week or what you will be up to in the coming week. And obviously that doesn't represent everything I've done this week, because that would be ridiculous. I couldn't bring that all with me. And I guess there are some things like an appointment. How would you bring something to represent an appointment or a, I don't know, something slightly less tangible? I guess if we looked at all this, and we've all had quite varied weeks. None of us will have had the same week as anyone else. Even if you're in the same household, you will have had a different kind of week. So it's just holding that in mind as we go on and think about the rest of our morning. I'm going to take a look at the scripture passage now. So let's move on. We've done that bit. That's my week in a bag. There we are. Let's read through the verses. We're looking at Colossians 3 and verses 12 to 17. So either follow along on the sheet of paper you've got or wherever you need to reference it, your Bible or your phone or wherever it is. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's this last verse here that's key, perhaps, to us this morning. And whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever we do, we should be doing to bring God glory. All the things we've thought about so far this morning and more besides. Because when we do this, it means that our whole lives become an offering of worship. And I hope we've got that understanding, as Tim said, that worship is so much more than just what we do here as gathered church on a Sunday. This act of gathering is really important because it helps us together to turn our focus to God, to step aside from all the stuff we've been busy with, and to focus on God and being together in one place. We sing our faith together. We listen and we share as we pray together and we hear from God's word together. And because sometimes all of that is easier to do when we're with others and when we're on our own. Sometimes it's really hard to motivate ourselves to do that on our own. But we're only here for an hour, hour and a half each week. And each of our weeks has 168 hours in it. So the aim of this is we don't just worship God when we're here. Our worship of God should involve our whole lives, our whole waking and working and sleeping and serving and living lives. There isn't one part that shouldn't be involved. So as I began to think about it this week, I thought, okay, well, we need to think about that definition of worship. So I went to the dictionary. I found it in the Oxford Learner's Dictionary. And this is the definition I found. To show respect for God, especially by saying prayers, singing, etc., with other people in a religious building. How's that sound? Does that sound like a good definition of worship? I thought, well, it's all right. It's okay. I think it's quite a good definition of worship. But it's not enough. It's not enough for me. And it very much focuses on our worship here. It's perhaps how others might see worship if they weren't part of a worshiping community. And certainly Paul thought that, because Paul talks about, you know, kind of how we worship in word and song. But to me, it's not a big enough picture. Now, while I was away a couple of weeks ago, I listened to an audiobook. First time I've really kind of keyed into listening to a book. It was great. I didn't get tired holding the book up in the hot weather. I was sitting beside the pool. So it was nice. Anyway, I listened to an audiobook called The Dictionary of Lost Words. I don't know if anyone's come across it. It's by somebody called Pip Williams. And it was fascinating because it was a historical imagining of how the Oxford English Dictionary came into being towards the end of the 19th century. And the principal character shares how the folk who worked on it enlisted the help of thousands of ordinary people, because the dictionary they had, they decided wasn't good enough. So what these new compilers wrote to put the message out, send us your definitions of words, send us words with a definition, send it with a sentence of it being used in context. And they collected these slips of paper, which apparently were kept in pigeonholes, along the walls of what was a shed down the end of someone's garden that was fancily called the scriptorium. But it was just a shed with pigeonholes. And they collected thousands of these slips. And as the story unfolds, the writer brings in that some of the definitions that were sent in by these people didn't actually make it into the dictionary. It took them years and years and years and years to compile it all. And when they were they'd sort of have a word and they'd go to their pigeonhole where it's got all the definitions of that particular word, and they discuss which ones fitted it, and some didn't. And I won't spoil the story by telling you any more about it, but I thought it was a very good story. But anyway, so if you go and read it sometime, I hopefully haven't given too much away. But it got me thinking about our definition of worship. And here I'm going, well, we're missing some things here. I think there's more definition to the word worship that we could do. It's more than our gathered worship. So accompanying this, as I said, is the book Whole Life Worship. And that, thankfully, is a good starting point, because a lot of the chapters begin with a definition of worship, different ones. So one of them picks up on this dictionary definition. It's by Stuart Murray, the Christian author. And he suggests this: if members of this community, that is the church, are to remain distinctive, they need to be gathered as well as dispersed. Corporate worship, in which the community rehearses the biblical story, rekindles its vision of a renewed creation, and prays for the coming of God's kingdom. So that sense of we need to gather together, it's important. We need to hear the story again together. We need to hear it over and over again, so it embeds it deep in our heart and mind. We need to gather together, and we need to sing our praises to God, and then we need to pray together. That's great. But as the video at the beginning, we just showed at the beginning, says, it's Sunday. Gathered church, gathered people, gathered myself. To worship, lift my heart. Head up, breathe deep. Invite you, that's God, into the week. We need this pause, this rest from our busyness, and stop to worship. This is important for us. Remember that God had the sort of 7 days of creation, and it was the 6 days of work and the one day of rest. We echo that as we come apart from our busyness to gather together. We gather together when we hope to hear from God. We hope to meet with God here. As Steve spoke about last week, we want to be open and sensitive to the inspiration in moments of insight that we gain from being together. And I hope we'll continue to look out for that as we go through this whole series. we'd have come with that expectation of meeting with God. This is not just a nice morning out and a jolly. It's great to meet with folk, but we could do that in a coffee shop. We gather because we have an intention of worshipping God together. And it's this gathering that acts as our strengthening for us to go into the rest of our week, whatever shape that is. The thing is that our worship of God shouldn't stop as we walk through the doors of this church, of this building. But our worship of God has a different shape to that, to when we're here. I mean, the passage from Colossians talks about our worship of God being really practical, teaching and guiding one another. We're to let God's word be heard, and we're to think about it and ponder on it. We're to sing songs, we're to be thankful, we're to pray, all of that really practical action stuff that we can be doing. But all of life gives us that opportunity to worship God. It begins in our hearts, which is where Paul says that the peace of Christ should be. And this whole worship of God, the worship of God journey that we go on, begins when we first step out and we first say sorry to God for all the stuff that we've done, and we turn around and we make a change in our life and put our trust into God. It's that response to God's love that find is a foundation. You know, we have a deep need for God, and we that worship comes from that thankfulness for all that God has done for us. And that's picked up by this quote by Matt Redman, who writes a lot of songs, and he says, "Worship is all consuming because God is all deserving. So we live our lives eager to breathe every breath, think every thought, and do every deed for the glory of God." So that's taking our definition a little bit wider. It's talking about, you know, can you imagine every breath that we breathe, every day, just pause for a minute and just breathe in and out. Every breath. Every thought we think of, everything we do, we should be doing that for God's glory. But is that how we live? Are we doing everything for God's glory? It's a question perhaps we need to ask ourselves. I suppose when we walk out of it, it's very easy to just get on with life, and perhaps God kind of becomes perhaps a bit more of the... It's an underpinning thread of our lives, but it's not the... Maybe God isn't at the forefront of our thought every moment of every day. That's quite a tricky thing to do, but it's the intent that we should have. You see, worship starts when we lay down our old selves, when we pick up our new identity. And in all that we do, when we're encouraged to be kind and gentle and patient and bearing with one another and forgiving each other and loving, that doesn't just happen within this community. It should happen as we go out to all that we meet. We are to be this way with all the people that we meet, wherever they might be. We're to show God's love to everyone through all we do. So we need to affirm when we gather together who God is, and that God is who he says he is, because that gives us that strength to go and live our scattered lives, if you like, throughout the week, because we've been strengthened by our gathering. This next one, quote by a man called John Frame, who is a philosopher. I had to look him up to find out who he was. But he says this: in one sense, worship is the whole point of everything. It is the purpose of history, the goal of the whole Christian story. Worship is not one segment of the Christian life among others. Worship is the entire Christian life, seen as a priestly offering to God. And when we meet together as a church, our time of worship is not merely a preliminary to something else. Rather, it's the whole point of our existence as the body of Christ. So we're to make this gathering a priority. Because it regrounds us. So that as we go out of the door, when we're not with our gathered community, we're not in that same space, we can go and be God's representatives wherever he calls us to be. This changes us so that when we go, we also can change the places to which we go. We embody God's kingdom. We embody his kingdom values. This is what whole life worship is all about. It's about us being people who are able to go to wherever that might be, all the different places, all the different situations and things that we do during the week, and be God's representative and love people and show God to others through who we are. And if we come back to the definition that Laura shared is that this, at the beginning of the series, worship is something that we are created to do. Worship, as Laura said, is worth-ship, to give worth to something. And God ultimately is the one who is worthy of our praise and all our worship. But if that's the case, then how do we do the ordinary things of life in a way that brings worth to God? What does it actually practically mean to worship God like this? How exactly do we worship at the doctor's surgery, at work, on the commute, in the supermarket, at school, when we're at home vacuuming or ironing or washing up or taking the rubbish out? And when I got to that point in my preparation, then I had the song from the Snow White film come to mind, where the bit where she's cleaning up the kitchen with all that helpful menagerie of animals. I don't know if it's a film you know very well, it's quite old now, but all that chirping and whistling along as they gather up all sort of the pots and pans from around and singing a cheery song about whistling while you work. But what I had the vision was them singing Shine, Jesus, Shine, which wasn't quite what I think they had in mind. But is that what worship looks like in our ordinary everyday? You know, that we stand in line at the station waiting for to buy a ticket, and we're like whistling under our breath, you know, Shine, Jesus, Shine, or I don't know. Or while we stack the dishwasher, you know, hands, feet, finish that. I don't know what it is. What is that what it is? Is that what worship is? Does it mean that when we get together with folk during the week that we start and pray at the finish, the start and the finish? At business meetings, whenever we get together with someone in the office or at a doctor's appointment? I don't know. I mean, it has to be said that when I do go to meetings that aren't faith-focused, I do find it odd when we don't pray. I almost kind of want them to, because I'm so used to this being my practice. But I wonder if people might think that a bit strange if we tried that. I mean, I think we have to recognise that actually that worshipping as God's scattered community isn't always easy. But we know that God cares deeply for this whole world, and that he calls us as his representatives to go out and be his hands and feet in this world. So what if worship was fulfilling our God-given calling at work or at school or at home, to know that we serve God as we do our work or our weekly activities? What if worship was praying for a co-worker who you know is going through a tough time? Share with them if it's appropriate, but just perhaps get on and pray with them. You know, what if worship was addressing a situation of injustice that we see? And we call people out for something they've said that's inappropriate, whether that's maybe racism or sexism. We seek the good of all the community as we do that. Louis Giglio, an American pastor, picks up this in his definition. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. The way we define worship matters. Yes, it is songs and it's prayers and it's hearing God's word. It's hearing the whole big God story that we are part of, retold and remembered, to root it deep within our hearts that we know whose we are. So that when we go from here, that our gathered worship then gives us strength to go and worship when we are scattered. And that initial dictionary definition is all very well, but I think we need something that's a bit more robust, a bit more expansive, because worship is so much more than just here. Our whole lives are to be worship. Everything we do, everything represented on these hands here by the stuff that I brought, whatever we do, our employment, our leisure activities, how we treat others, everything, the way we speak, what we do, it all matters. It can all be offered to God in worship. Abraham Kuyper said this. He's a Dutch theologian, and if you were noticing, I quoted this in our monthly memo that went out at the beginning of the month. but I thought was so important I came back to it. Worship, he says, must be the one grand royal action of our whole life. In all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we are always God's priests, called to serve his holy purposes. Each and every day, our worship is to be a grand gesture. So I wonder, as we go into this week, if we can see all that what we have lying ahead of us with a different perspective, to see how our worship of God in those places and spaces can be transformed as we do them and as we act in an act of worship. Let's see if we can crack on. Come on. There we go.
Roll on another week. Monday mornings, mundane job and tasks. Eat, work, tweet, graft, sleep, repeat. Late nights, early nights, keeping balance right. Dinner, dishes, washing, bed, bath, morning light. Concentrating hard, throwing myself in. Lift my given hands to work and lose in touch with what's within. Each day, a gentle numbing. Sunday. Gathered church, gathered people. Gather myself to worship. Lift my heart. Head up, breathe deep. Invite you into the week. Lift my given hands to work and touching heaven as I do. Lift my hands to work, and work's an instrument of praise. Your abiding presence filling up my days. Turn my eyes to you, and your delight compels my tasks. Lift my heart to worship, lift my heart to bask in your warmth. Even in busyness, I'm stilled in you. When scattered, you're with us, and we are in you.
So how can we invite God into our weeks ahead? Well, we've thought about these things, but I'm going to just encourage you to do something as we come towards the conclusion. I hand back to Tim and the worship team. I don't know what you've got in your diaries for the week ahead. You might have a diary with you. It might be in paper form, or it might be on your phone. But I'm going to suggest you get it out and hold it as we pray. Now, it's one thing I did mean to bring with me was my phone, so I'm going to go and get it. So if you've got a diary on your phone, then I suggest that, you know, that's something you do, or you might have your paper thing, or you might just have to imagine what that looks like if you haven't brought it with you. Or think about the things that you focused on, that you wrote on your hand, or drew, or made, or what is it that you've got coming up in this week? What is it that where is it you're going to be this week? Where is it that you're going to have opportunity to worship God? Hold the thoughts in your mind, hold this in your head, hold your diaries in your hand if you can, and let's pray, and then I'll hand back to Tim. So Lord, together we consider all the different places in our other place of worship, all the different places that you send us to, that we find ourselves in, places that so need your love, that so need your kingdom values. May all we do be an act of worship for you this week. And while we may occasionally whistle, shine, Jesus, shine, may you shine through our words, our compassion and kindness, our gentleness and patience with others in a world that is so often lacking such things. May the time we share this morning strengthen us, so that when we are scattered, whilst we are apart, we know you with us, and we are in you. Help us to live as your people, Lord, doing everything in your name and for your glory. Amen.